Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not creating a time paradox for completely selfish reasons, I'm at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And after multiple delays due to COVID-19, reworkings into production, and the self-sabotage from the lead actor, the time has finally come. That's right, the long-awaited next installment of the current DCEU, The Flash, has arrived. But before we get started, I want y'all to take a second and follow the show on all social media platforms, as well as joining my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group by clicking the links down in the episode description. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever platform y'all listen on. By doing this, y'all support the show and help me continue to talk to y'all about all forms of badassery. So even though this is the second to last film in the dying Snyderverse, is it good? Was it worth the wait? Does it deserve the positive reviews it's getting? Let's talk about it. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. So, The Flash takes place sometime after the events of Zack Snyder's Justice League, and we find Barry Allen doing the whole superhero gig, you know, saving people and teaming up with Batman and other members of the Justice League to do it. But with his dad's appeal trial coming up and the lack of evidence to prove his innocence apparent, Barry begins to consider what if he were to go back in time and prevent the murder of his mother from ever happening, thus saving her and his dad in the process. But little does he know that doing so will change everything, and not for the better. So, I have been very, very reserved, and I have tempered my expectations for this movie, especially after all the delays, Ezra Miller acting like a complete scumbag and psychopath, and after watching Shazam Fury of the Gods, and also the complete reset of the DCEU by James Gunn coming in 2024. So I've kind of just been sitting here saying, what's the point? And then I seen the trailer, and that trailer got me a little hyped, just a little. So I headed into the movies opening night, and when I left, I was extremely satisfied. This is a good movie, and I really enjoyed it. Is it the best movie in the Snyderverse? It very well might be. Is it the best superhero film of this year? Not quite. But to be fair, it is the second best in my opinion. So, let's talk about all the positives, spoiler free. Starting out with the writing, I think the writing is extremely well done from a narrative standpoint and the script. I think when you deal with time travel and multiverses, it is very easy to write yourself into a corner, and it's especially easy to confuse the audience. That, fortunately, was done well and simplified so that anyone can easily follow what's going on, and it's just a well-written story that takes bits and pieces from many stories within the comics as well as within the movies and the Snyderverse itself. And that's been a problem for a while in the Snyderverse. So even though it's too little too late, it does show us that they are capable of writing a semi-complex story successfully in future DCU films. The performances overall are great. Ezra Miller, for the most part, does great as the present-day Barry Allen. And it's really hard for me to, because I'm very critical of him, because for me, he is not, and he never will be, Barry Allen to me. He's so starkly different from his comic book counterpart, and that they don't have to be perfect adaptations, but they have to at least capture the spirit of the character. And I don't think Ezra Miller has ever really captured the spirit of Barry Allen. But I will have to say that his performance is good. There are parts in the movie where he has to display this great deal of emotion and heart, and he nails it completely. And I was so surprised, because I honestly didn't think he was capable of that. I'm not one of those people that thought he was a good actor before all of his shenanigans. I've always thought he was a very subpar to bad actor, and I've always thought he was the weakest part of Zack Snyder's Justice League. I never thought highly of him. So I was very surprised when he actually pulled off some of the acting that he did in this movie. Ben Affleck, back as Batman and Bruce Wayne, although it's very brief that he's in the film, he continues, for me, to be the best live-action version of Batman. I understand that a lot of people don't agree with that, but if you know the character of Batman, he nails that character. Yeah, I know he kills and stuff like that. Yeah, Keaton's Batman killed way more people, but that's a debate that I'm not going to get into. But aside from the killing part, he moves, acts, walks, talks, fights just like Batman from the comics. And to me, they're going to have a really hard time ever topping the old grizzled Batman that he portrays. But the return of the OG, Michael fucking Keaton, is great. It was so damn good to see him back under the cowl, but to also see him do things that he couldn't do with the technology being used at the time. Just stuff like him being able to turn his head more, and him being able to move around quicker and fight better, and it's just nostalgia heaven. And to me, that's not a bad thing. And to expand on this, I'm going kind of a rant here. I get kind of tired of people bitching about nostalgia being used in movies. Nostalgia's great. It takes us back to a place of happiness in our lives. And yes, there are some times where it is overused, and I'll be getting to one of those examples later. But nostalgia's not bad, guys. Stop bitching about it. End of rant. Sasha Kaye as Kara Zor-El / Supergirl was great. She was a big surprise, and to me, she embodied the character of Supergirl / Kara Zor-El better than any live action version we've gotten to date. Just her, do we get like depth to her character? No, and that's something that I did want more from her introduction. But the fury in which she fights and her drive, they nailed that, and I loved it. I'm such a surprise. Onto the soundtrack and the score. I thought the score was great. Benjamin Wallfisch, I believe that's how you say his name, Benjamin Wallfisch. He did a great job of composing it and blending his score with Danny Elfman's and other scores from DC movies in the past. I thought that was very good. And although some of the music did kind of feel a little random from the soundtrack, I did enjoy those songs. And I don't think that they were bad or misplaced. It wasn't necessarily like kind of like how the Illumination movies always just stuff these random songs in there that don't make any sense. I don't think it was that bad, but it wasn't bad. I think the movie is pretty well directed and is edited pretty well. Andy Muschietti, who has been a very good horror director, I mean, he did a great job of doing both the It movies. I know a lot of people don't care for the It Chapter 2. I personally didn't mind it. If you read the book, you understand why I give that movie's ending a pass, because the ending of that book is impossible to do. So you have to do what you can do to wrap that story up. And I felt like he did a good job with that. Also like the Guillermo del Toro movie, Mama, that he directed. I thought that all three of those films were fine. And for him to he did a great job of coming over to the superhero genre and jumping into the film like The Flash. I mean, it couldn't have been easy at the time, nor could it have been easy to stay after all the shakeup at WB and everything that had been going on with, you know, your lead actor is out here acting like a nutcase and getting arrested and, you know, kidnapping people and all that stuff. But he stuck around and toughed it out, and he did a great job. And word is, he's going to be directing the Brave and the Bold movie for James Gunn's DCU. So I'm looking forward to it. I think that the action scenes are pretty solid. Just great display of the Flash's powers as well as Supergirl's. And there is this grand battle that takes place at the very end that is pretty exciting and has some cool stuff going on in it. So I think that they did a good job of doing that as far as all the action and the powers and stuff that these characters have. They did a decent job with that. But moving on to the ending and overall perception, the ending is fantastic. So much cool shit happens at the end of this movie, and I will talk about that in the spoiler section. So stick around if you want to hear the spoilers or if you've already seen the movie. I also want to add that they know how to hit you in the feels. Just like I was saying earlier, there are a lot of emotional moments in this movie, and Ezra pulls it off. He does it. These scenes really know how to pull on your heartstrings, and they're just so damn well done. But there are a few problems with this movie. Well, I should say there's one big problem and a couple of very, very minor ones. So let's get to the negatives. So the big problem is one that honestly really, really surprised me. And that is that this movie has some of the worst CGI I have seen in a very, very, very long time. And no, I'm not being overcritical. And it's not just in a few scenes here and there. It's bad. I'd say as far as 70% of this movie's CGI is bad. Distractingly bad. So bad that at times it almost ruined critical scenes. Yeah, it's really bad. And I've seen people defending this garbage, especially Andy Muschietti. He's been a big defender of the CGI. He said it was intentional. And I'm sorry, Andy, you're full of shit. That's bullshit. No, you know that that CGI is ass. And I've also seen other people saying that the CGI workers are overworked and yada, yada, yada. That's bullshit too. Even if they are, which I'm sure they are, just to give them the benefit of the doubt, I'll say they are. I don't know about y'all, but if I was on that team, I wouldn't have submitted this bullshit for anything. I mean, I just don't know how you put out this terrible work in confidence to your boss and say, yeah, here's what we got. Doesn't it look great? I mean, the Snyder Cut CGI was bad, but he didn't have the budget. They gave him like, what, a couple million bucks to finish the movie that he had to do like 2.5 or 3 extra hours to it. And that CGI was bad, but this CGI, ooh, it's really bad. These guys did and still put, they still put this shit out, guys. It's embarrassing. TV has better CGI. The Flash TV show has better CGI than the majority of the CGI in this movie. So that's my biggest gripe about it. And thank God this movie's good and it didn't ruin this movie for me. It's distractingly bad, but it didn't ruin the movie. But it did, however, bring it down an entire number grade for my final verdict. That's how bad this CGI is. And then moving on to some minor gripes. Young Ezra Miller annoyed the shit out of me. He annoyed me bad. And I know that it was intentional. And I know that he was supposed to be annoying, obnoxious, and immature. But it's done to the extreme. And I cringed most of the time that he was on screen. He does kind of find his footing towards the end, which I guess if they're, I understand that they're doing, they did it like this to show growth with the Barry Allen character from this universe. He didn't have an origin film. He was just thrown into Justice League, and then we have this movie. So they did that to kind of show what he used to be and what he has become. And I get that, but to me, it's overcompensating. Like, for instance, I had the same gripe with the Shazam Fury of the Gods. It doesn't make any sense that regular Billy Batson is more mature and acts his age, but when he turns into Shazam, he acts like a 10-year-old. That doesn't make any sense. It's overdone, and it completely destroys the narrative and the illusion that you're dealing with someone who is younger, or in this case, he's playing like 18 or 19 year old Barry Allen, and he's acting like he's like 11 years old. There's literally scenes where he has fucking food all over his face, like he's sitting in a high chair stuffing cream peas in his mouth. It's really weird, and it just didn't make any sense, and it was super, super annoying. So they did a good job of making him annoying, if that was their intention. I wouldn't have went that far, but here you go. And then the other minor gripe that I have is some, and I mean some, like very few lines of dialogue were bad, particularly with a couple of lines that they gave Keaton. And this is the example I was saying, that nostalgia can be bad if done in this manner. So there's a scene, and you could see it in the trailer. I'm not telling you anything that's not in the trailer. So the scene where it's Flash, it's both young Barry Allen and present Barry Allen and Supergirl, and they look at Keaton and they say, are you going to come help us fight? And he says, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. That scene makes no fucking sense. The him saying that line in the follow-up question makes no damn sense, and it was shoehorned in there complete for nostalgia. Other than that, Keaton's Batman was phenomenal, and I loved it. Just a couple of lines he had here and there that was like, huh, that don't make any damn sense, but I recognize those lines from his two Batman films. So just felt a little shoehorned, and that is an example of how nostalgia can get bad. It just didn't fit, and it made the scene really weird. the comedy, I didn't really touch on the comedy and the positives. This movie's got a lot of funny ass parts in it. It's tasteful comedy, and it doesn't kill the tone either. Talking about you, Marvel, take notes. But there were a couple of times where it did miss me, and that most of the time dealt with young Barry Allen. His little laugh. Oh my God, that fucking laugh was so bad. That's just part of minor gripes. When I say minor, I can't even really deduct anything from the score. It was something that was so inconsequential to me. It was just something that I noticed. And before I give my overall rating, I do want to take this time to talk about spoilers. So those were my negatives. I'm going to talk a little bit more about positives and negatives in my spoiler section. But if you don't want to hear spoilers, skip ahead to the end. And 3, 2, 1. All right, you've been warned. Spoilers from here on out. So they didn't use much of the Flashpoint storyline. They took bits and pieces of it. And I just want to clarify, they did not have to take that entire storyline and adapt it into this movie. I would have loved to have seen that. But they didn't have to do that. And what they did was fine. There was a couple of elements I would have liked to have seen happen. For example, I would have loved to have seen something on the lines of what we got in Flashpoint, which was like alternate universe versions. And instead of like, these characters just never showed up. Like that was kind of disappointing, because I would have loved to have seen a variant version of Aquaman or Cyborg or even Wonder Woman like they gave us in the Flashpoint story. And that's what made that one of the big things that made that story so fucking cool, was we got to see all these events take place completely differently and reshape these heroes and villains in different ways. So they didn't do that, and that's not a negative. It's just something that they just didn't do, that I kind of expected a little more from that story to be adapted. But they did get the emotional part from that story right. And again, I've said it twice now, Ezra killed that. The emotional moments in this movie were just phenomenal. We are introduced to Dark Flash, or what they also known as Black Flash. The way they did it in this movie was, he was essentially the future version of young Barry that kept trying to change the timeline over and over and over again until he just became this creature of the Speed Force. Not a bad take on what that character is, but in the comics, Black Flash or Dark Flash is essentially the Grim Reaper of speedsters. So he is the one that comes after you when you are ready to die, or you have done something in the Speed Force that has caused the Speed Force to manifest this speedster of death to come after you, or you've committed some form of taboo that puts you in the crosshairs of the Dark Flash. And in the comics, he's a lot scarier in the comics too. He's literally like the Flash, but as like an all black suit with red trim and like a red lightning bolt, and with also like a zombified face. It's pretty cool. It's very similar to what we got in the Flash TV show. Only, you know, that version, the CG wasn't very good, but it was still better than the CG in this movie. and that was another thing that fell by the wayside because of the absolute horrible CGI, was also Dark Flash. Now, this is the part that is super spoilery that I thought was so fucking cool and was definitely my favorite part of this movie. And that was, in the end, they view into the multiverse. And for those of you that don't know, there is this story called Multiversity that was written by Grant Morrison many, many years ago that pretty much confirms to everybody that all of DC media, from comics to video games to the movies and the cartoons, they're all part of the greater multiverse. That's just how everything is connected. Now, have all those multiverses crossed over? No, not at all. But they are part of the same multiverse. And this movie pretty much confirmed that, because we got to see into a few different multiverses during the ending sequence. And the whole setup is what Black Flash is doing is destroying the multiverse. So we get to see the George Reeves Superman universe. We get to see Christopher Reeve and the Supergirl from his universe. We got to see Adam West in Batman 66. And some of the people in the crowd laughed because they didn't know. But probably one of the coolest little Easter eggs that we got to see was we got to peer into the Superman Lives universe. For those of you that don't know what Superman Lives is, Superman Lives was supposed to be a Superman movie that came out in the 90s, and Kevin Smith was supposed to direct this movie, and Nicolas Cage was supposed to be the guy who played Superman. And I know that sounds off the wall and wild, but the story behind that is fascinating, and I'm going to talk about it briefly. So back in the 90s, Warner Brothers approached Kevin Smith to direct a Superman movie. So Kevin Smith wrote down what his vision was, and he met with this executive, and the executive was like, all right, I can't remember that specific executive's name, but he went to his house to have dinner and talk about this movie. And Kevin Smith laid out everything. It's like Superman, blah, blah, blah. He's going to fight this bad guy and this, that, and other, and this is how the movie's going to lay out. And that executive was like, no. That's not what's going to happen. Superman is going to fight a giant spider. And Kevin Smith's like, fuck that, I'm out. That's not what I'm going to do. That's stupid. And if you go on YouTube, you can see there's a clip where Kevin Smith talks about it. And it's hilarious. So I recommend everybody go check out that clip and hear that story from him and his perspective. But it's funny that they had Nicolas Cage, Superman, fighting this damn giant spider when you're peering into that universe. I thought that was so fucking cool. And I love that. And yeah, the CGI was bad, but it was so freaking cool at the same time. I do like how they didn't shy away from having Barry to make the tough decision to not save his mom. And that's something that they very easily could have not done or showed any kind of consequence to, just have it just happen off screen. Instead, they chose to go for it. And that whole freaking theater got real, real quiet and got pretty misty-eyed. Just gonna throw that out there. Phenomenal scene. I've talked nothing but good about how Ezra Miller portrayed emotion and everything in this movie. He did such a good job with that, and they did a good job of writing it. There's a reveal at the end that when everything's put back together and everything's all said and done, one change did still happen. We don't know if any other changes have happened other than this one, but Bruce Wayne pulls up, and when he gets out, it's George Clooney. it's not Ben Affleck. And for those of you that might not know what I'm talking about, George Clooney was the Batman in Batman and Robin, arguably the worst Batman movie and one of the worst superhero movies and one of the worst movies ever fucking made. And everybody in the crowd died laughing when that happened. It was pretty damn funny. As far as the other spoilers go, I don't know what the hell's going to happen next. Like, I don't know if they're going to use this movie to springboard into James Gunn's DCU, because that doesn't seem like that's possible. Nothing really indicated that they could do that. Now, like I said before, they pretty much showed the multiverse on full display, essentially, and the Snyderverse could just be another piece of the multiverse, which it is, but they could potentially revisit this universe anytime they want to. They could do that with any universe that's ever been conceived in DC lore in all forms of media. So I don't know exactly where they're going to go with this, or if they're going to build anything off of this. But I can tell you one thing. If they ever do revisit this universe, they've got to tell Ezra Miller to stop running so fucking goofy as the Flash. I just remembered that in mid-thought recording this, that it's always bugged me. It's always going to bug me, but Ezra Miller runs fucking stupid as the Flash. Nobody runs that way. He runs like he's swimming. He's one of the awkward runners. He's awkward runner Flash, and it drives me nuts. But I knew that they weren't going to change that. So hopefully if we ever do revisit the Snyderverse in a special or something like that, they'll have Ezra Miller not fucking run at all, so I don't have to see his horrible Flash run. But the Flash is the final gasp of air from the dying Snyderverse, and with that final breath, they deliver possibly the best DCEU film to date. Despite his off-screen issues, Ezra Miller manages to give a very heartfelt performance as the older version of Barry Allen. Keaton being back under the cowl is awesome, and Sasha Kaye as Supergirl was the big surprise performance for me. The score, script, and action is all solid as well, with only one real glaring issue being some of the worst CGI I've seen in years. It's just a shame that Warner Brothers and Snyder couldn't have got their shit together and made this universe work, because this movie proved that they absolutely could have. So with all that being said, The Flash gets a 4 out of 5 and is grizzly grade guaranteed. Go check it out. It's a good movie. Second best superhero movie of the year so far. And with that, we bring another episode to an end. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, the show isn't possible. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to click the links in the description below to follow me on all social media platforms. Yep, we still got some movies left in the month of June, and July's got a couple of movies here and there. Got a couple of TV shows coming out. Got Secret Invasion. You got Kong, Skull Island. The animated feature coming out on Netflix. Got a couple of things coming out. Again, don't know if I'll get them all covered, because there's so damn much stuff to cover. Still got to get y'all some Grizzly guides out there. I haven't forgotten about that, and I'm doing my best to get them out. Stay tuned. There might be a bonus episode in the future. Go see The Flash, guys. It's good. I really enjoyed it, and I'm very critical of these movies. So it's a good movie. Go see it. Want to thank Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He's the guy that done all the music from intro, outro, and background music for each episode. Go check him out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. The guy, just everything the guy makes is good. He's a phenomenal artist. So go check out his work. But until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.